He's north going to south.
Right over the runway.
He's right over to your runway?
He's about to pass over the way he's moving. They're coming right over Edwards at this time.
Hello everyone, this is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to our UFO show.
Hello everyone, welcome to our show. We're in the midst of a very severe thunderstorm here in Oklahoma, which is not uncommon. But we're prepared for any eventuality, and but we're going to bring on our first guest in post-haste, as they say. She's she doesn't really live in Houston, but she happens to be there, and we'll be talking to Karen Grisham in just a minute. Karen, how are you?
Hi, Jerry. I'm fine.
Good. What's the weather like in Houston?
Well, it's overcast, cloudy. It's been rainy off and on, but it sounds like y'all have it pretty hard up there.
Yeah.
We get that.
Well, you know, you've been in Texas for a long time now, so...
Wow.
Oklahoma's not much different. We get a few thunderstorms here and there, and we're just in a little severe activity now. I don't think there's anything to worry about other than we might lose the power.
Yeah.
Karen, let's just have a little chat, you and me, and talk about things
okay. In
general. And first of all, I want to talk about your website, and that's your name, KarenGresham.com.
Uh-huh.
And what would you find on that website if one goes there? So what I'm wondering about is what you might, you need to tell the audience, I guess, a little bit about your background, and I've got some questions to bring up, too.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, and I'm also an intuitive medium and educator. And I also have done a lot of work with UFO projects. And so that's what I do.
And they can find out more information by simply going to that website and contact you. I want to talk to you about a few things. And I know you have some subjects you'd like to bring up as well. You mentioned the word UFO. Tell me about your experiences with UFOs and why you're interested in that.
Well, I've been interested in UFOs since I was a child, actually, about eight. And a cousin and myself, she was spending the night with me, and I remember my first encounter having a little, what they call baby grays, to be looking into my mirror, my vanity mirror in the room. So my cousin and I screamed and were scared, and my mother walked in, and of course the little gray just went into his other little dimension and was gone. And my mother said, "Well, girls, you know, you all just had a bad dream." So now I know. And then over the years,
About how old were you then?
I was about nine.
Mm-hmm. And where did that happen?
That happened around 1959.
But where?
And my cousin, in fact, it was weird. I haven't talked to her in 30 years. And I talked to her about a week ago, and she remembered that very day.
Oh, she does remember it, huh?
Yeah, she does.
I guess you're not likely to forget something like that.
No. No, absolutely.
Yeah, and you remember it pretty vividly, too, and I'm sure it was a game changer for your entire life.
It really
made,
was.
Made you get you very interesting.
Tell
us a little bit more about that experience and others you've had.
Well, that experience, actually, it was the baby gray. He was kind of childlike, and I remember that he was just as scared as we were. And then, of course, you know, when my mother came in, and I think he ran into his little dimension, it was all over for the moment. So I think you had three children who were scared.
Yeah, did he blink out or what?
I mean, did he? He was just gone.
Just bang, like that, gone.
Yeah, just gone. Probably went into the other side.
So tell me what you feel we're talking about here with the ETs. Are they interdimensional?
I think that yes, they are. I have done, my biggest work was in 1986 in the Virginia UFO sightings that they had in near Bluefield and Tazewell. And I was contacted by a clinic, a psychiatric clinic, who invited me to come and stay there some 2 or 3 months and interview 200 coal miners. And I talked with the psychiatrist, and she didn't believe that they were hallucinating, and she thought there was something really to it. So I worked there for a couple of 2 or 3 months. It was one of the most incredible times of my life to interview.
Well, tell me a little bit about what this involved with the coal miners. You mean they?
They were seeing things. You know, they were seeing one would go out to empty his trash in the night, and he would look up and see the bottom of a ship with the lights blinking, rotating, and the white lights, and then the little red lights. And then they would hear noise, and their house would rattle. And I heard this, so many different stories about this, because I interviewed like a couple of hundred of them every day.
And most of them had stories that were similar.
They really did. And it was known at the time there were the editor of the local paper in Whitfield, his name was named Danny Gordon, and he wrote a book about it, and it was called Don't Look Up. And at that time, everybody knew that the CIA and people were all around in plain clothes checking it out. It was a big deal. It went on for a long time, and supposedly in that area, ever since the late 1940s, they've had a lot of sightings and a lot of experiences, close encounters.
Now we have a caller already, Karen. So are you ready to take some phone calls? I don't want to find them, but before we do that,
sure.
I want to ask you. You mentioned the book. Have you written a book?
I haven't written a book. No.
Yeah. Well, have you thought about it?
I would like to if I ever could sit still long enough and do it. I'm busy all the time.
It sounds like you've had lots of experiences, and before the show's over here, I'm sure
really
we'll get
have.
Into many of them.
I really have.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Jerry. This is Tommy from Connecticut. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, Karen. How are you tonight? Not much. Hey, I got to ask Karen a question. Karen, what would you define in... You know, people say I'm intuitive. How would you define intuitive?
Well, intuitive is when people have senses about something and it happens. They're psychic. Everybody's psychic. But many people develop it, and a lot of people don't ever develop it. And some people have it more than others. And that's what it is. But as far as being a psychic or a medium, a medium is different a little bit from a psychic, but we are all psychic. And there are many of us, sometimes when we've had trauma as a child, it opens up that level, or that veil's lifted, and we can actually have that ability to do that.
It seems to me that you're saying that we all have it, we just don't know how to use it, or we ignore it or something.
Just don't. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that was my next question. Is there anything we could do to bring out the intuitiveness in us?
Absolutely. Well, this is what I teach. I do this. And as a clinical hypnotherapist, my clinical hypnotherapy is a little bit different because I do teach people how to develop that side of themselves through altered programming. And I do it with light and sound. And, in fact, I have a little radio studio, a little recording studio in my office, and I have an audio engineer who sets it up for me, and he's with A&R Recording in Dallas. His name's Stan Getz, and he helps me do that, and it's quite interesting. I channel information from the interdimensional beings that are guiding me, and each one is flavored to what that particular person needs to have into their...
You think I could channel the interdimensional beings? Or could you teach me how to do that? Or somebody how to do that?
channel them. It's not really necessarily a channel of the interdimensional beings, but you can
Are we talking the same thing as channeling, or is this different?
Yeah, this is different. No, okay. You asked me about how to develop your intuitive abilities. That's what
right.
I was telling you. What I do. That's different from the interdimensional being.
You got to have that special talent.
The interdimensional beings can guide us, but I don't think we can channel them.
Okay.
They're there to
do
what they want to do. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Hey, it's nice to talk to you again. Thanks for calling in and talking to Karen here on the Jerry Pippen Show. So you have a little radio studio there, huh, Karen?
I do. It's just in Stan set it up for me. I've done a lot of work in Brazil for years and lived there, and I thought it was quite cute that my little helper for 14 years' name is Stan Getz.
Well, here's the big question. I ask you if you've written a book. Have you thought about doing a regular radio show?
Well, I would love to. I mean, it would be quite interesting. I love to be on the radio shows. So that's a thought, absolutely.
Well, I know Paula Harris and I were talking about you, and she's very high on you and thinks that the world of you. And you talked before on Facebook just briefly.
Absolutely, because you're a Sagittarius like me.
Right. You got to watch out for a Sagittarius. When we talk about... You bring up so many things. You've had so many experiences. It's hard to even focus in on exactly what I want to talk about. So you feel like you want to bring out something, please do. But I got to ask you about these interdimensional beings. Tell me more about that.
Well, they are interdimensional beings. Can be anything from the ascended masters to our guides and our teachers, and also the ETs are interdimensional. They don't like to be called aliens, by the way. And
I don't think anybody does.
I don't think so either. So I know I was recently at the UFO conference in Phoenix, and Stephen Greer said that too, and I agree with him. They don't like to be called aliens. And they're also, they're very loving, and, it's time, in my opinion, that we need to wake up. You know, there are many of us who are awake, but there are a large part of this planet that's still sleeping. And
do you not believe that ETs are extraterrestrial at all? You think they're all just inner beings?
No, I think they are extraterrestrials. I think that extraterrestrial is the same as interdimensional, really, because you have to go into another dimension after a certain period of force to get there. So that's what I say. Exactly. I mean, we have...
Okay, now you were 9 years old when you had your first contact.
Right.
And when was the last time you had a contact?
The last time... that's a good question, because I feel them around guiding me a lot. So the last time maybe, because I always sense, I can't recall. I'm not sure, because I have a lot of contacts, maybe a couple of weeks ago, but I can't remember exactly what it was. But I do sense
them. And when they contact you, is it intuitive or do they actually show up?
Well, it's interesting because I think they contacted me to help out this psychiatric clinic at that time. And I think when they don't show up, it all of a sudden happens. It's very interesting. I have a client that I've worked with for like 20 years, and I had a secretary at the time that would do my work for me whenever I'd go away, and this particular client lived out of state, and he called my secretary, and he wanted to see me, wanted to come down and work with me, and so she gave him the clinic where I was working, and he called, and it happened that it was right in the middle of this UFOs and being around in the found, you know, the incidents and so forth there in Virginia. And he was very interested in UFOs. And so I found myself telling him that I could help him. And so 25 years later, we've done a lot of work, and he is now very much into UFOs and very much tied into MUFON.
Yeah, does he share the same opinions you do about UFOs?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that opinion is, just kind of recap for it, you think there are extraterrestrial, but they're also interdimensional, and I guess there's a spiritual
element. I think there are... Interdimensional is kind of like extraterrestrial, and can be both, really.
Well, when I'm using the term, I'm thinking of coming into this reality and snapping right back out.
Yeah,
you know,
they have semantics. They have so much more technology to do that, and so they can do that. It's just like a lot of people are frightened of them, and I think that people need to realize that if they were going to hurt us, they would have done it a long time before now, because they have the capacity to do just about anything. And I think that what it is, I think they're trying to get this planet to wake up to be a little bit more evolved and have more peace and stop the warring, whether it be from a microcosm level of individual fighting or whether it be from countries fighting or nations fighting. And I think that almost they're endangered when they actually land. And, they're scared. They've had incidents before in Roswell and other places where one survived and a couple died. So it's, I find that a lot of people are interested in this now. Don't you?
Well, there seems to be a lot more interest in that, for sure. And
everybody, of course, is asking about 2012.
Well, what about 2012? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's not going to be the end of the world, but I do hope it's the end where people can awaken more. And I think that it could be, because it's the end of a Piscean age, which is the last sign of the zodiac. I'm not an astrologer, and it's just symbolism, and it's the beginning of actually the Aquarian age, or in the higher age that moves forward. And it's an opportunity. And I think everybody in their own mind and in their own way is seeking and asking questions about life, death, what all this means and what happens and how much can we control.
Let me ask you this. Who decides when an age ends and another one begins? How does that work, the mechanism of that? Do you have any idea?
I think that would be almost like an astrological question, and I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, none of us do. I didn't expect an answer other than
right.
It's just interesting that do you think there's something out there that makes us all aware of, for instance, these ages? Does it work, in other words? Or have you got an idea about it at all?
Well, I kind of do. Maybe not. It's not concrete enough, but I think that it's like segments of history coming forth, that come into the way man thinks and the way he is. And then I think a lot of things happen because we are energy, and everything around us is energy. So sometimes I feel like that a lot of these things, because everything is in divine order in the universe, and I feel like a lot of these things that are crisis and bad or turbulent have to happen. And I think it has to happen to awaken some of the masses to a higher reality and a higher place to go in their minds. And that's one of the stepping stones. So as horrible as it is, it has been awakened, an awakening. And I think a lot of people are do that during times of war and strife or crisis.
Somebody in the chat room wants to know if you think that we all have an ability to enter this interdimensional plane ourselves, or is it reserved for somebody else?
In other words,
what they want to know is, can we become interdimensional ourselves, or are we just kind of trapped here?
Well, not on the physical. We can't. I don't think we can leave our physical body, maybe. But most of us can't just dematerialize and go in there yet. We're not that high up, highly evolved.
Do you think that's an ability of the ET, or as you mentioned technology earlier, do they have some sort of magic machine or what?
Yeah, they're, I think they have an ability to do that.
You think it's natural or for them?
I think it's part of their composition.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
There are many different races of them, and there are those ETs who are very much like humans and look like us, but can do greater things and can maybe dematerialize or rematerialize, like Star Trek movies or something. And then are many.
How many different types or species of ETs have you run across, either firsthand or through your hypnotherapy activities and investigations?
Well, probably about four or five different ones.
We're talking about the usual group, the grays and the bigger grays and the humanoids.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And one of the others, is there any other kind?
Well,
we hear about reptilians. Do they exist?
Most definitely, I believe they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, are we giving the reptilians a bad rap? Or, I mean, you seem to think that, most of this is good. Are there not any evil ETs out there? Okay, I think we have we lost Karen for a minute, and we'll be back. Okay, we have Karen Grisham back with us, KarenGrisham.com, and a very interesting woman, had lots of experiences. We've had a pretty heavy discussion already. And it's interesting. We were expecting to lose contact maybe here because of severe thunderstorms, but Karen, down there, we lost you, but we got you back now, and I'm glad we did.
Great. I hope it doesn't happen again. We have some overcast. There could be some problems here, too.
Maybe when I started talking about the reptilians and asked if they were bad or good, maybe they cut the phone line. Who knows?
Can they
do things like that?
That's funny. I was thinking the same thing.
Have you ever heard of them interfering with our physical world? Not the reptilians necessarily, but any ETs. I mean, what are they doing, like when you saw them in your room or your cousins, I believe, when you're 9 years old? I mean, why was it that little E.T. there?
Well, it's
interesting. Have any idea?
I got the idea that he got lost and kind of got mixed up, that he wasn't there for any purpose, and he just kind of got lost, and you had three children who were scared. That's the way it came across. He was scared, and we were scared. And maybe he didn't know how to do it yet or something, but most of them have an agenda, and I do believe that they are here to help. And
their agenda is a good agenda.
Yes, it is. It is. It's there to help, to assist us to evolve to more of a peaceful consciousness. I believe that. And they are of love. They are of love, and because if they would have, in my opinion, if they would have wanted to have created a problem, they have the ability to have done that long before now. They've been coming here for thousands of years, like the Ancient Aliens program.
I understand, and what you're saying is logical, but at the same time, I have a little difficulty thinking everything is good. Maybe I've just been doing too many conspiracy shows.
I think, you know, I'm sure there are some out there, you know, there's good and bad in everything, or good, mm-hmm. there's a light and a dark in everything, or some people, you know, some of them may have other, you know, ideas. I'm not sure. I've never run across any.
Yeah, but you personally have not run across anybody that was
anything
evil.
Frightening or anything evil. No, I never have.
You haven't ran across an entity that's a vampire or anything like that.
No, and I hope I never do. I haven't. I really haven't.
Well, you hope, we hope you don't either. I mean, I don't want to run across them either. But what I'm asking, how about in your hypnotherapy sessions? Do you do regressions? And
I do. I have in I used to do the traditional family of origin work years ago. My partner is a physician. He's a retired thoracic surgeon with the DeBakey team, and so we had a clinic until 1996. And I did that back then, and I did run across some people who were obsessed instead of possessed, and actually had a priest who was an exorcist to come in and work a case with me of a little boy whose parents hired him to come down to do that. And that was another story. But
you got to tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, did you think you had evil spirits here in the clinic?
The parents thought the child was possessed.
Uh-huh.
And come to find out is the child was just severely depressed and was more of a psychiatric problem, that he wasn't obsessed or possessed. And the exorcist is the one who said that. He said, no, he's not obsessed nor possessed. But it was quite interesting. And I got a lot of interesting information and lessons from this exorcist that I didn't even know anything about. So,
like what?
Well, about angels and the different realms
of
angels.
Well, tell me the difference between angels and demons.
Well, I don't really know. I don't think about demons.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe that's just my Pollyannish personality, but I just don't think about them. The Catholic priests and a lot of your religions say there are demons and there are angels. I guess feel like if you don't think about him and you don't, that they won't bother you.
Well, you mentioned a Catholic priest,
an
and that leads a question that I have, and that is, what about religion and the real world of what you've seen with these interdimensional beings and ETs and all the experiences you have? Do these ETs, you think they have a religion?
Well, that's a very good question, Jerry, because I think that I'm sure they may. I'm not sure. But there are a lot of people, especially in I know in Texas and in the South, where they feel real threatened by anything extraterrestrial, interdimensional, and it goes back to the demons and type stuff, I think. It goes from the strict religions and so forth, whether it be Catholic, whether it be Baptist or whatever. I think there's a real problem there, and people are afraid because they don't know. And I'm sure you see that a lot in Oklahoma. I think in the South.
We see a lot of that anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. What I'm getting at, I guess, is have you, in your regression and therapy, and also in your research, had this subject come up? Has it ever been addressed? You've had several encounters. Has anything like that ever been discussed? On your encounters, do they discuss? You just see them when they're gone, or how's it work?
Well, some people see them. They have conversations with them. It's usually a conversation in their vision where they appear, and the people that I have worked with them. And some of them are quite comical. And they have all kinds of little comics things that they do and in relating to the person they want to talk to. And then what happens is that they leave a synchronistic calling card, a sign or a symbol in the earth world for that particular person, maybe going to the post office and finding something that person's mind clicks on and go, oh, my goodness, you know, this is related to my visit with my ET friend. I know that I had something myself happen. I just remembered this. I was going to PetSmart several years ago on my way to PetSmart, and I had just been working with some people about ET guides for them. And so there was one in particular that she described as pink. And that he was really cute, and he liked to play around and dance, and he was trying to talk to her and showed her some signs of sounds that relate into her head. And she was telling me about this, and I thought that was quite interesting. And so when I got out of the car, I looked down, and I saw something right by my feet, and there was this little tiny pink alien, pink E.T., plastic ET with green eyes, and it was pink and plastic. It was about 3 inches long.
And you mean it was a toy or something?
It was like a little toy, but I think that's somehow or another they wanted to leave their calling card, and I think they can do that in signs and symbols. There are so many signs and symbols that all of us get.
Let's go back to your Virginia experiences and the coal miners. What was the final outcome of all of that research? And you said it was one of the most exciting times in your life. And I let that go.
Was,
I didn't really
was,
follow
it,
that up too much. I'd like to now.
Yes, it was exciting. It just kind of stopped. And after my project and after I left, I didn't hear any more about it. And then I had heard later from someone several years after that some people had actually taken a wooden cross that was huge and hammered it into the ground in front of this psychiatric clinic. And the physicians left and went to another state. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't know what that meant. So this was after I had been gone some years. So,
well, think it was, there's a lot of fundamentalists in that area.
It could have been, absolutely. It could have been reacting to that,
mm-hmm.
like what we were talking about earlier. And there were a lot of CIA people. Actually, I was followed for a year after I did that project. I could tell that, and I knew that.
Well, who followed you?
I think somebody from the government or somebody from an agency.
So you think the government probably knows something
about all
of this?
All of us who are doing this, absolutely, we're all.
Well, the reason I bring that up, I've had several abductees on the air, and many of them seem to think that there's some black operation people that follow along and after the ETs, and they actually are worse to deal with.
Uh-huh. I think so too.
Yeah. How about abductions? What about that? What have you drawn a conclusion on that?
Abductions. The only one.
There are a lot of people are saying they're abducted, and a lot of times people don't believe them. And I'm just wondering if you think that's.
I definitely.
Or do you have an opinion about it? Or is your mind still open?
No, I definitely believe it. You know, the ones who have come to me have actually had them come to them through a communicative situation. And also, too, now this is another thing, I have had many of them to lose time and space, actual physical time. In fact, my husband and I, about a month or two ago, lost 2 days of time and space. I forgot to tell you about that. And he's
well,
right
now,
here.
Now you
got to
tell me more about that. And
how,
why would you lose time? And who made, how'd that happen?
It's real interesting. It was right before that I met Paula. So, and I actually think that we all have definitely a mission together. But it was just one day. It was on a Sunday, or on a Tuesday, and then we thought that it was on a Sunday. We just actually, it's hard to really say what that's like.
Did you not see anybody in those 2 days that could tell you, or did you not mention it to someone? You just...
It was a sensation that we had. It wasn't an actual physical thing, but it was a sensation that we had lost time and space, and part of us maybe had gone somewhere else.
Well, now let me ask you this: what do you think's happening there when you lose time and space? I mean, are they taking you someplace else?
Well, they could be. They could be, absolutely. They could be taking us someplace. They could be communicating with us. I'm not sure. It could be all of the above. Probably is.
Screen memories.
It was a very good experience. It was a good experience. And he said the same thing. And I've heard other, you know, the people that I've helped and worked with in relation to interdimensional beings or ETs have all had very good experiences. I do believe in abductions, and I do believe that some of them have gone wrong, but I have never had that. I have never been involved with that personally.
All of your personal contact has been, they just come and show up and you see them and they leave you telepathic messages or something or feelings?
Well, the same time that I was seeing this little alien around this little same time of my life, I remember it. I was sick. I think I had the strep throat or something, and I was had a high fever, and I was laying on my side, and I had this toy, and it was called a click clack or something, and it had these little squares that were tied together by black elastic, and you hold one down, and they all fall down, and they were bright colors, and I can remember, and this is the truth. Looking out my window by my bed one night, and it was just there in the air. Nobody was holding it, and it was going up and down.
You mean it was just there outside the window floating or something?
No, it was inside the room next to my bed, and it was like somebody was holding it, and all of them just kind of dominoed down. That's how it went. It happened once. But nobody was holding it. And then after that is when the little baby gray appeared in the mirror. So maybe he was there invisibly first or something else, but it was, I remember that.
It's almost like a science fiction story I wanted to be a writer, never could sell it, but probably wasn't good enough, but I call it double image, and that was you look in the mirror, and there's something going on in the mirror that's reacting to you, and you don't realize it, you know.
Exactly.
Do you think that's possible? It might be.
I do. I mean, I think it could certainly be possible. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think they could be with us right now as we speak.
Excuse all the extraneous noise, but that's the power coming back on.
Oh, that's good. Coming back on.
Yeah. And so, when we talk about these things, there's so many questions that one needs to ask, and naturally, we have a limited time on this show. I'll have to do it again sometime. You mentioned Paula Harris. Where'd you meet her, in Phoenix or what?
Well, I met Paula because Paula is having this wonderful symposium, women's symposium on UFO subject matter in Glen Rose, Texas.
Yeah, that's just south of Fort Worth, not too far from
here. Right. May the 18th, 19th, and 20th. Actually, my husband and I grew up there as children, and that's where these incidents took place that I was telling you about back in the late 50s.
Well, really?
Yeah. Glen Rose has a lot of history of this, and a lot of the old-timers around talked about we had a place called the Low Water Bridge, and people had seen three balls of light traveling through the river at some point. That was one of the tales that went around, which I'm sure it was true. And so a lot of that, and then, of course, the Stephenville Lights, which they're honoring that, and Paula has done a fabulous job with this symposium. It's just going to be great.
We're going to have Paula on here pretty soon.
Paula and I have
done a lot of things together over the years.
Well, I met Paula because a client of mine was wanting to sign up for the symposium, and I said it was on a Sunday, and I said, well, let's give a call. And so we called, and Paula answered the phone, and we talked. And Paula is from Rome, and I lived in Rome for years in the past.
Yeah, I knew that. That's the reason I asked you where this happened about the 9-year-old.
I can understand Italian, but I lost a lot of it that I spoke because I speak Portuguese fluently, and so sometimes I get them confused.
The first time I talked to you, I thought you'd probably have an Italian accent, but you're an American, right?
I'm American, but in my heart, I'm Italian. I love it over there, and it's great.
Well, gee, I should have got Music to Three Coins and a Fountain as a bumper here.
Or my good friend Tom Chauvin. My goodness, he was one of the greatest composers of all, the one that did the Girl from Ipanema.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, I had intended on using that. Tell us a little bit about that connection.
Well, I did some work back in the late 70s with a very famous writer and reporter by the name of David St. Clair. And he'd written a lot of metaphysical books. And he had lived in Brazil for 20 years and had written he was a writer with Time and Life and also freelance journalist of his own. And he and I came in contact with each other, and I worked for him and did research for him in Brazil, and we had huge projects that took like 8 years of my life. And that's a long story. That story takes
Well, we only have two or three minutes left, but I don't guess we'll have to bring you back to talk about that story, and I'll have that bumper music this next time.
Well, I would love to. And he
would
love
that. What was the long and short? We don't want to leave the audience hanging here about your Brazilian escapades, for lack of a better term.
Well, actually, David wrote about spiritualism. And he, of course, he wrote also about some true cases in the United States, and he also lived in England and all over. And so I would do research with him, and it was quite incredible. This went on for about 15 years of my life, and he knew the president of Brazil at the time, and Tom Jobim, and he introduced me, and then I had a musical situation, story, and a subject matter, and that.
Do you sing?
I don't sing in English, but I did sing in Portuguese, and that's part of the deal. That's part of the story. So, and now I probably can't do either.
You've brought up three or four things I could spend an hour with, but we're almost out of time. But. Are you going to be down there at the conference in Glen Rose speaking, or are you just attending?
No, I'm going to be speaking. When Paula and I talked and I signed up my client with Paula and myself, we immediately hit it off, and the person who was originally supposed to be there, another clinical hypnotherapist, couldn't make it, and she asked me to fill her spot. And I was very honored, and I know the show is going to be great. There are a lot of interesting people there.
I just talked to Carol Rosen today, as a matter of fact. She's going to be there.
She's going to be there, absolutely. And it's an experience. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing for people who, you know, have a lot of questions and are seeking to attend. I'm very honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're part of it, and I'm glad we got a chance to talk about that part.
Yeah.
Because when we... Now, do you get that conference date again, and they can go over to... Paul has really went all out on this. He has that Stephenville panel on Saturday besides all you ladies talking.
Right, absolutely. And the man who actually saw it is going to be there, too. And
yes, Steve Allen.
People, right, some of the local people who saw it. You should come down and be there, Jerry.
Well, we'll see if I can.
That would be great.
I haven't said no, but I'm not sure that I'm going up to making personal appearances. I've had some health issues recently, but that'll get better.
Yeah. Well.
And we'll see.
How far are you from now?
Now, give the date for that again, and what time do you speak? Do you know?
It's a Friday and Saturday and a Sunday. I'm not sure what it's the 18th or 19th. Let me see if I can get a calendar. Let's see, and I can tell you.
You're pretty good at bringing things up on your laptop real fast.
Yeah, my laptop's not working here in the hotel room where I'm staying here.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was talking to you the other day, and you had some answers for me before I even had time to ask the question.
I did. I was in Dallas, and it was working. Just a second. I have it up right now. I can tell you the dates right here. And it is the 18th and 19th. And 20th.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's the 8th, May the 18th, 19th, and 20th.
And it's in Glen Rose, Texas, and that's just south of Fort Worth and not far from Dallas, naturally. And
An hour from Fort Worth and about an hour and a half from Dallas.
And that's where you hang out these days, I take it, Dallas, even though I'm talking to you in Houston.
I do, yeah.
Do you have clients? Are you taking clients or anything?
I do. I have clients. I sure do.
So they can go over to your website and get all that information?
My website, and my phone number is on my website. It's KarenGresham.com, KarenGresham.com.
And that's all one word.
Yes, and it has how they can reach me. And my phone number is 214-521-0869.
I can tell you're a Sagittarian because you got the plug in. Anyway, we're going to have to leave it at where we are, but...
Well, this has been a great honor, Jerry, to be with you on your show, and I hope I would love to be back with you again.
We'll have you back, and there's a lot of things we left hanging here we need to follow up on.
Yeah. It's true. I've had a lot. I've not lived an average life. I've chosen to be kind of a Tom Sawyer person.
Okay, spell that website again, and I'll let you go.
Okay, it's www.karen, KarenGresham.com.
Well, thanks very much. I've enjoyed it.
I have too, Jerry. Thank you so much.